This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We've been talking a lot about Prophet Muhammad and his followers and some of the other prophets and their hardships. And when things really look like they're at their worst, like the darkest time when you need the most patience, the time when you're about to give up, that's when you need the most persevering patience, the sabr, right? Right. And here are the Muslims, the early Muslims, sitting out here in the desert. They're dying. They're just in the worst shape. Sanctions against them. And then some good news came. There were some people willing to help them in a faraway place called Yathrib. So there was an agreement made. And the agreement was that the people of Yathrib, who liked this idea of this religion, they liked the idea of Muhammad, and they had talked to their people, and they said, if you'll come there, we'll take care of you, we'll protect you, and we'll make sure that you have a chance to worship as you want to worship. And some of them wanted to be Muslims. Thought about this, made the agreement with them, and they began the first of a series of migration from Mecca to Yathrib. They went to Yathrib. And by the way, Yathrib was a city, and they used to call it the city. When they meant Mecca, they would say Mecca, but when they meant the other place, they would say the city where the Prophet went. And city in Arabic is what word?
Medina.
Medina. Medina. And Medina. And after a while, nobody called it Yathrib anymore. And today it's still called what?
Medina.
Yep, Medina. Well, anyhow, some of the people started to go, but they told them, be careful when you go, because if any of the Quraishi tribes catch you on the road, you're going to be history. So, they streamlined out of there. They started moving and going and going and going, till only a few were left. Now when the Quraishi said, oh man, what's going on? We thought we had this problem solved. Now it's going to move up there. And those people, we got to get Muhammad. That's it. This is it. Tonight is the night. Look at what Abu Jahl said now. Father is stupid, right? He said, I don't really care anymore about anything. I'm going to go and I'm going to kill this guy. And then if any of you want to save me, he's talking fine. Otherwise, I'm on my own. They said, no, we're with you, we're with you. But let's make a plan. So they did. They got the tribes. They said, look, everybody here agrees we got to do something, right? Right. So why not a representative of each of our tribes will go. And we'll all stab him at the same time. That way, nobody can choose this tribe or that tribe. It's on all of us. And that will end it. They said, yeah, good idea. Let's go. But he said, let's do it at night while he's asleep. This is the way of cowards, isn't it? Attack somebody when they're asleep or their back is turned. A bunch of them get together, just like shaitans, real devils. And this was their plan. But Jibril, the angel, had come to Muhammad and warned him. And he knew what to expect. And you know what he did? He talked to his cousin, actually, which is who?
Ali.
Ali. And what did he ask him to do? Sleep on his bed. Now think about this. You know that these people are going to come and try to kill you. And you ask somebody else to sleep on your bed. Well, that's from Allah. So he did. And how about Ali? And he knows they're going to try to kill him because they're coming to kill Muhammad. So I said, but he has no problem. I'll do it. Sure. It's a good idea. So when he went in to sleep on the bed, lay there all covered up, and they went in. Come on. Here we go. And they got up close, and, hey, who's it? That's Ali. Don't kill him. Where's Muhammad? Got away again. Ah, man, this guy, what can we do? Now, what's interesting about this, Ali later on said that night, sleeping in that bed for Muhammad, beautiful. Peaceful, best sleep I ever had. Isn't that amazing? Because Allah protecting him. And this again shows you the protection of Allah. Again, showing you the patience. Again, showing us how important it is for us. Don't give up. Keep asking Allah. Well, then the next migration comes to go to Yathrib. And now there's only just more. Maybe one other or so. And they started figuring, we're going to go here, we'll do this, we'll do like that. And they left by a different route, and they went down, and they went another way, and they came around. And finally, they stopped in a cave. Now the Quraysh were coming and looking, and they actually came up close to where this cave was, where they were. But Allah made it look like, oh, they're not in there, can't be in there. And while they were close, Abu Bakr realized how close they are. He looked at Muhammad. Muhammad was asleep. And there was this, like, scorpion or serpent or something, you know, with poison in it. And it was coming. And he had put his hands around every little single hole to keep stuff out. And the only thing left was to put his foot over here, and that thing went and got him. And they were right out there. And if he would have gone, ah, boom, they would have had him. So he had to just... Don't say anything. Sweat coming down from him. Pain in his leg and his foot. So bad from this thing. You know, did you ever have a scorpion bite you or something? Or a bee or anything? Ouch. Big time ouch. Well, after they went away, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam woke up and he saw what it was. And he just put some like this on there. From Quran or... Dua for him, something like this, and stopped hurting. So Allah cured. Alhamdulillah. They went on. It took time, so much time. And finally, they got up close. Now, in the meantime, because it does take a long time to travel through the desert on foot, the people that had gotten there ahead of time, the Muslims, were waiting and telling everybody, Muhammad is coming. Where is he? Next day, he's coming, we're sure he's coming. And then finally came. We've seen him. They're coming. They really are coming. Everybody got all excited again. Oh, this is great. You know, he's coming. And he had a camel, by the way. And as they got closer, he stopped before he got to the town. And he said, we're going to stop here for right now, and then we'll continue. They stopped. And what do you want to do? Can you imagine the first thing after this traveling? I know me. I always say, let's have a bath. I got to take a bath. Well, this traveling, nasty. Laying around in caves, bugs biting you, whatever, huh? Other people would say, no, all this traveling and no food, let's eat. So at least let's have some nice cool water, right? What do you think it was that Muhammad wanted to do first?
Praise Allah.
Praise Allah?
To build a mosque.
Build a masjid. He wanted to put up a place for the people to make sajda to Allah. Sajda means to put your head on the ground, and masjid means... Sajda, masjid. Now, some people call it mosque because years ago, when the Europeans heard the word, they heard it from the Egyptians who pronounced it masgid. And so they thought they were saying mosque. And that's where the word mosque comes from. It still means masjid to us anyway. So anyway, they put up some stones and put some things around and started making it, okay, this is the place where we're going to set aside. Will be the place for only what? Putting our head on the ground to Allah. And that's a good thing, because it showed the people right away that the main thing that Muhammad ﷺ was interested in was worshiping Allah, nothing else. He didn't want anything for himself. He wasn't asking anybody to pay him. He didn't need anything from the people. He just needed from Allah. That's it. And so that was why the first thing to put up is what? The masjid. Well, after a while of being out there, they said, I'm now in the city of Yathrib. And as they started going in, everybody said, stay in our house. We want you with us. No, we need you to stay with us. And everybody, they started to fight over it. Everybody wanted, we need Muhammad with our family. We need the prestige of having Muhammad the Prophet with us. Huh? How did he decide where to go? Boys, who knows the answer?
He said, wherever my camel stops, that's where I'll live.
My camel stops, that's where I'll live. Yeah? So anybody know where it stopped? Who knows? What? Everybody knows he stayed in the house of somebody who lived there.
Too often, boys?
The reason... What?
Oh, my God.
Not yet. The reason that we're mentioning about this is because Muhammad, peace be upon him, is not the one who made the decision. Allah made the decision by letting the camel go till Allah made the camel sit. And the camel went poof, right then and there. And then everybody understood. Now the next thing he did, next order of business, okay, is to take care of the Muslims. So he made arrangements with the people who were the helpers. How do you say helper in Arabic?
Ansar.
Ansar. The helpers of Allah, or Ansar Allah, right? Is that what they were called? Ansari. Okay. And the Muslims. And he matched them up. You know, you and your family, you'll take care of this family. And you'll take care of him. And you'll take care of her. And like this. And this is how they worked it out. And they matched them up so that they became together. They became together. Those who made hijrah were called the
Muhajirin.
Muhajirin, those who make hijrah. And those who lived there as helpers were called Ansar. And even one of them, he had just got married. And he had another wife and some property and some business. The one that he's supposed to help was a man who was of good stature from his place. He'd been back in Mecca, a businessman, whatever. I'll give you some of my business. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. And by the way, take this new wife too. Why not? Can you imagine that? Of course, he said, no, that's okay. I've got my own wife and I've got my own stuff. And I know how to do business. But, you know, I appreciate it. Isn't that nice? What kind of love they had for each other and sacrifice to help to build the real ummah, the ummah or the nation. SubhanAllah. And when you think about how that they started working together, cooperating with each other, and things just changed. From there they were in the desert eating rocks. And now here they are eating good food. Having a good chance to work and play and have fun, take care of their children and worship Allah, the most important thing to be able to. Of course, they're going to build another masjid. They need one in Medina, yeah? And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, with his own hands began helping and building, and they started working together to put the stones in place and to put the mud around it and get it set up to build the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet's mosque. Oh, it was simple. It didn't even have a full roof across it. But it was some walls and a place they could pray. And then the people started to come. Because nobody's stopping them now. There weren't the creation tribes around there saying, no, you can't go, no, you can't. No, everybody's free to go. They said, oh, okay. Well, let me ask you some questions. And they would come and talk. And Muhammad s.a.w. could sit there in the masjid, his own place now. And talk to the people and tell them, La ilaha illallah, and this is Quran, and this is Salah. And, oh, huh, so, I see. See. Yeah, why not? And so more and more and more people started coming into Islam. And this was a good time. Islam was growing. But some of the local people that lived there were like, actually, I don't know. Because they weren't part of the contract. They weren't part of the Ansar. They were just other people that lived there. There were some other tribes there. They said, what if the Meccan tribes get mad and they come up and we got a problem with them? We do. I mean, you know, we didn't tell these guys to come up here. And they might think that, I don't know. Well, the Ansar went to the tribal leaders and talked to them and said, guys, you know, we all need to be together on this thing. If something did come up, are we all together? And they said, oh yeah, we're together. We're with you all the way. Not. Because some people will say one thing with their mouth, but they mean something else behind it. But as I said, things looked pretty good. While the Islam grew, people were able to learn. What do you hear a funny story? What happened? Well, these were Bedouins. Ignorant people have ignorant ways. And one of the Bedouin men came, he wanted to hear about Islam, he was there, you know. And he needed to go to the bathroom, so he just stood up and he started going to the bathroom. Right there in the masjid. One of them jumped up and he wanted to attack him. When Muhammad, peace be upon him, learned about it, he said, hold on. Just take something, you know, and cover it up. Take care of it, to cover it up. And then tell him that we don't do that here because this is where we put our heads on the ground. Oh, look at that. Isn't that nice? Just tell him we don't do that here. And cover it up. Shows you the difference, really, in the way of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and other people. Because some other people, I'm sure if you went in a temple for some religions and did something like that, they would go crazy. The main thing to know about this is that Prophet Muhammad was patient and he was teaching us the same thing. And to give people a chance to learn too, because some people are ignorant, they don't know, so you have to give them a chance to find the message. And began to learn this message. Islam began to grow big time. But word got back to the people in Mecca, and they heard about it, and they were going, oh no, the very thing we were worried about, and he's up there now preaching that message, and we're going to have all other tribes against us now. We better start thinking what we're going to do next. And they started planning and plotting and trying to consider, what will we do next? Let's see. Maybe somebody got a good idea, and they came up with the idea of a caravan. They said, let's go to all of their houses, because they still owned their houses even though they had left, and they still owned their property, they still had their things. They said, let's take everything that belongs to them, everything, and we'll sell it, steal all their stuff, and then we're going to take it up as a caravan and go right up by that area, and if they come out, we'll be ready and we'll get it. This was their plan. It was a caravan, but it was heavily guarded. They had their men going along too, just in case. Huh? And they started going, traveling across the desert, thinking, plotting, scheming in their mind, what will we do next? And remember what Allah says, they plan, and Allah plans. Who's the best of planners?
Allah.
Here's what happened. Muhammad, peace be upon him, heard about what was going on. They came and told him. He had been concerned about what would be the next encounter with those guys, because this is pretty serious stuff. They started getting ready. So the Muslims got together and they talked to the Ansar about this, and they talked amongst themselves what should be done. They decided to go to a place where they know that they will stop to get water. At the well. Have you heard of Badr?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, these are the wells of Badr, and this is where they get their water from. And so, what they did, they said, let's go guard all those wells and fill up the ones that we can't guard, so that when they come, they have to come right to us. And when they come, we'll be able to fight back with these guys. And that's what they did. And so, exactly this is what happened. And here they came up. And who was there? The very same Abu Jahl. And all of his buddies and all his relatives and all the people that had been torturing Muslims right along, the worst of the worst of the worst of them were right there. This is our time. This is when we really get Muhammad. We'll get Omar too. We'll get Hamza. We'll get all of them. They'll be out there. But they didn't plan on, well, maybe we'll get a little closer in. Maybe we're going to do this. They had some other plans. Then suddenly, here came the Muslims, and they went, uh-oh, and they weren't ready. Their plan wasn't working the way they wanted it to. And then the Muslims engaged, and they started fighting and fighting and fighting. This was an amazing thing, because the Muslims had never fought before, ever. They had never fought. In fact, they couldn't fight until the words came from Allah. Shall I tell you about that? Well, the thing that the Muslims were the most concerned about is making Hajj. And in order to make Hajj, they would have to go back to Mecca. Everybody has to go to Mecca to do Hajj. Now, they just wanted to worship Allah. They didn't have any false gods to worship or anything like that. But they still have to go to Mecca to do it. They'd already been down and rejected and sent back and said, come back next year. They agreed. And they started changing the rules and saying, never mind. And the Muslims tried a lot of things to work with the people of Quraysh so they could do Hajj, and they wouldn't let them. They wouldn't. So here they are now confronting those same people, and they've got this situation, and the words come from Allah. Now, in order to understand it completely, it takes a couple minutes, but go to the Quran and look in chapter 2 and look at verse 189. It says, Yasalunaka. They're asking the moons. Tell them that these are not something magic. It's not something that's superstition. This is how we gauge the days and the months. This is how we know when to do the Hajj, by this. Because some people believe that looking at the moon would bring good luck, or it could be these are signs from the gods and things like that. But for the Muslims, we know that the moon is how we gauge the month. We follow the lunar calendar. And that's what it says here in the La ilaha
illallah
Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. In the discussion about prophets, one of the topics that always comes up is about mu'ajiza, miracles. Each and every prophet who came with the same message. Some of them had books, some of them had miracles. And that's what we want to talk about right now, is the miracles that came with the prophets. Of course, we always know the message from the time of Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Suleiman, Jesus, and Muhammad. Peace and blessing be upon them all. The message was the same. Worship one God without any partners. That was always the message. But sometimes the people they delivered the message to were very hard-headed. And they didn't really want to believe. They didn't want to listen. And sometimes they would say, well, we will listen, but we need to have some evidence, some proofs. Allah sent the messengers with clear proofs. All the people have to do is think. For instance, one of the clearest things of all is, where did everything come from? If it didn't come from Allah, tell us where it came from. Who made everything and how did it get here? Scientists today admit they can't even invent the wing of one mosquito. Yet Allah has billions of mosquitoes, trillions of flies, all kinds of birds, animals, fish in the sea, trees and plants. All of the creations of Allah that we look at every day and we take it for granted, but we can't even make one molecule of protein with our science. So where it came from has to be from Allah. We know that. But people refuse because of other reasons. So Allah gives them many, many opportunities to see and understand. When He sends somebody from them, from their own people, to give them the message, this should be something for them to consider. A human being is telling me something that will benefit me. But because of things inside of a person, they will reject that. So, as we mentioned in the very beginning of our series, we talked about having proof. Like if somebody came to your house, knocked on the door, and said, I'm here to inspect the meter. I need to come in your house and look at your meter. But you don't know who is this person. Why should I open the door to you? He has to have some identification, yes? He has an ID card. Maybe has his picture on there. Maybe a phone number you could contact and check. Is this guy for real? So we need some proof. And so, always, Allah gave them enough proof for their people. Sometimes, the people, as we said, are hard-headed. So Allah sent them even more proof, and even miracles, and things that are impossible for a human being to do, and it would be in front of them. And in some cases, the people themselves said, this is the kind of miracle, we want to see this, or we want to see that. And then when they saw it, they still didn't believe. One example, you remember the prophet who came to the people, and he told them about what? Allah. And they said, show us a proof. And he said, okay, like what? And they said, we wouldn't believe you until you make a big rock open up like an egg, and inside it is a big camel, a valuable camel, the best camel, and she is going to have a baby. She's 10 months pregnant. Now, that's impossible. How could this be? And yet, Allah showed them that exact same thing. And they still disbelieved. Many of them disbelieved, didn't they? And Moses, when Moses came, They want to see a proof. Allah made his stick turn into what?
A snake.
And when he hit the top of the water split. And the people walked through the water. This is impossible. How could anybody disbelieve after that? How could they? And Jesus, peace be upon him, when he came and healed the sick and the blind, they could see again. And a leper, their skin became well again. Somebody crippled could walk. And even a dead person comes back to life. And all of this is happening with other prophets as well. They're having these same kinds of miracles. Why don't the people believe when they see the miracles? Some people ask, what about Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him? And did he have any miracles? And I heard some people today said, no, he had no miracle. All he have is the Quran. And Quran is a miracle, but that's it. Have you heard this before? Some people said it like this. But we as Muslims know there are many miracles, and they're mentioned even in the Quran. And one of the biggest miracles we'll be talking about in this segment, I hope, inshallah. But first I want to mention some of the minor things that happened with his proofs as he came. When the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, started to talk to his people and really give them the message, they tried every angle they could to get him to be quiet. Finally, they were about to the point of just going crazy, and they said, okay, you told us about miracles of Moses. You said he had a stick that turned to a snake. Fine and well, we don't see it now, but whatever. You tell us that Jesus put eyes back in somebody's and they can see. Well, I don't see the person, though. And you're telling us all these miracles. Why don't you do one? Do a miracle for us. Even they said, you're telling about a punishment to come on us if we don't. Okay, bring a punishment. You told us about the people before. They got punished. Okay, show us if you're really a prophet. Watch out, because you remember what happened in every other case of every other prophet. Then whenever they said, okay, Allah, bring the punishment, the people all got wiped out. Remember that? Except for the few believers. What happened in the case of Muhammad was Allah told him, you can do the same as all the previous prophets. And you can ask for the punishment to come on them right now and they will see it clear. But when it comes, when the miracle comes, then if anybody disbelieves after that, the door of mercy is closed to them forever. You can choose that or you can choose the other, which is to let the door of mercy remain open to them up until the end. He said, I'll choose the second one. I rather have the doors of mercy open to my people. Because in the previous times, the people before him had their own prophet for their people, for their nation. But because Muhammad is the mercy, the rahmat to the alameen, to all of the nation, to all of the people, to the humans and jinn, then he wants to be sure the door of mercy stays open until the last day. And so he didn't make that kind of dua. Instead, Allah gave him some other miracles for the people to see. One of the miracles that impressed me, and I was pretty shocked because I'd never heard of such a thing before. They talked about when the moon split. Have you heard about this? Well, when they were saying, we won't believe unless we see some miracle, show us some miracle, then that night, and they looked up, and if you remember the story of Jabal Nur, the mountain of light, you remember that? I've been there, by the way, and it's a big mountain. It's a very big mountain, and it's kind of fat looking, you know? And that moon split, and you could see one side of the moon on this side of Jabal Nur, and the other side of the moon was on the other side of the mountain. Split just like that. And they looked at it, and they were, this is really funny, because they were like this, huh? And then they start going, and looking at each other like, okay, and go home. Next day now, what did you see? Well, I don't know, what did you see? Well, did you see anything wrong with the moon last night? Because they don't want to believe. They don't want to admit, what did they see, you know? Look how they are. And finally they said, well, it was trick. It was magic. It was something, you know, I don't know what he did, but we don't accept it. They said it. So when he's telling them, you saw the moon split, and they're like, but we won't believe until somebody comes and tells us they saw it who weren't under your influence, under your magic. Huh? Look at this. So a caravan was coming and traveling, and when the caravan arrived there in Mecca, They went to the people. Actually, they didn't quite get to Mecca. They ran out ahead to be sure nobody tells them anything and said, hey, guys, on such and such a night, what did you see? They said, the strangest thing happened. We were looking at the moon, and it split right in half. One on one side, one on the other. We never imagined we'd ever see anything like that. Oh, you thought that? Yeah, what was it? Is it some kind of miracle going on? Something in the desert. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Whatever you do, don't talk to somebody named Muhammad about it. You see? They have a miracle in front of them. And what do? They deny it even when it's confirmed by an outside source. There, proof. What more proof do you need? And when these miracles come, why don't they believe? They said, the strangest thing happened. We were looking at the moon, and it split right in half. One on one side, one on the other. We never imagined we'd ever see anything like that. Oh, you thought that? Yeah, what was it? Is it some kind of miracle going on? Something in the desert. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Whatever you do, don't talk to somebody named Muhammad about it. You see? They have a miracle in front of them. And what do? They deny it even when it's confirmed by an outside source. There, proof. What more proof do you need? And when these miracles come, why don't they believe? Another really big miracle is mentioned in the Quran in chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra. The meaning of it is, Allah is saying that the praise is to the one who took his servant from Masjid al-Haram, which is Mecca, to Masjid Quddus, or Quds, which is in Palestine, Jerusalem. You remember this story? Al-Quds. And he did it all in one night, because that's what it says in the verse. Allah took him all in one night. So let us examine this story and understand about it, because the details are coming to us from many of the companions of Muhammad, and we know it's a true story. That what happened, Allah sent an animal between the size of a donkey and a mule. It wasn't huge, but it was in between the two sizes. But it could take one step and go many, many, many miles. Strange animal that it was, and Allah sent this and took Prophet Muhammad SAW while he had been laying down, and then suddenly, here, he's on this animal, and quickly, he is in the Holy Land, in Al-Quds. Quds means holy, by the way. This is sacred. And while he was there, the first thing happens is he leads the Salah for all of the Anbiya, all of the prophets. And we've been talking about prophets. That's the reason for having our program, isn't it? So he had all the prophets gathered together right then, from Adam all the way to him. All of them were there, and all of them did Salah together. Wasn't that nice? Amazing. And then after that, Allah made it so that he could go in stages on these levels. And first he saw Adam, alayhi salam, and he got to talk to him. And then after that was Jesus. And he saw Harun, and he saw, which was further up the line, he saw Moses, he saw all of the prophets, and he was going along. And then there was a greeting that they had, and salams, and the angel Jibril was with him and taking him through. And actually the angel was going to each level and showing him what to say and what to do, until he came to this high level. They went up, 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 until they came to the very highest level. Jibril alayhi salam stopped, and he said, no one can go any further than this. Even I can't go any further. Only you. Go ahead. So Muhammad was going somewhere where nobody had been, ever. The closest anybody ever been to Allah. And in this condition, and in this place, came the greeting. Atayatu lillahi wa salawatu atayyibatu. What does that mean? Because this was what was said first. Muhammad said this to his Lord, that all of the praise and all the worship and all the prayers and all of this is only for you, Allah. Only for you. Everything is for Allah in worship. This is the meaning behind it. Then came the response from Allah to him. As-salamu alayka ayyuhu nabiyyu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this is a strange thing, because always when we greet anybody, we say salam alaykum. Salam alaykum. We don't say as-salamu alayk. Because as-salamu alayk means Peace only to you, nobody else. But because we know there are angels with us, so even if a person is by themselves, we say Assalamu Alaikum, meaning to you and to the angels with you. This is why we say Salam Alaikum even to one person. But this was Allah saying to Muhammad Assalamu Alaik, because there was nobody with him. And this is what we say in the prayer, isn't it? Isn't it the same thing in the prayer, isn't it? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back and he says, wa assalamu alayna abadallahu as-salihin. And he says, he's asking immediately for peace to be upon the righteous believers. Isn't that nice? I mean, he didn't say, oh, I need something for me. Immediately he asked, as soon as Allah gave peace to him, he said, and peace for the believers, the followers. That's excellent. Very, very considerate when you say. And then comes the beautiful statement, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness there's none to worship except Allah and Muhammad's his messenger. Now the story that I just told you, starting with when he greets Allah, helps you to understand why we say this in our salah every single day. It helps us to remember what we're doing and what we're saying. It's not just words. It has a very deep, profound meaning. Now, while he was there, Muhammad was in front of Allah. And by the way, he didn't see Allah, but he was in the presence of Allah, according to what they tell us. Allah commanded now something that was amazing. Because always before, the prophets had been ordered to do salah. And this is when it came. Because on this time and in this point, that's when Allah said, I'm ordering salah for you and your followers. Your followers will also be praying, and the number increases to 50. 50 times a day. Is that a lot? Do you think you could pray 50 times a day? No. Neither did Moses. Because when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, started going back down, Musa alayhi salam was asking him, because remember, Musa used to talk to Allah direct, and Allah spoke to him direct. So now, Muhammad has heard directly from Allah, no doubt. And he said, what did he say? He said, well, he commanded us 50 times a day to do salah. He said, 50 times? Oh my God, I've had people. I know they won't do it. They'll never do it. Go back and get it reduced. Well, he went back to Allah and he asked Allah, you know, could it be reduced? And Allah reduced it. So he came back down. Musa again asked him, okay, did he reduce it? Yeah. How much now? He said, 45. Yeah, no. Go back, get it reduced. Get it reduced. They'll never do it. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back and asked Allah, reduce it again. And each time he would come back, and each time Musa would say, no, go back, until he got it reduced down to 5. And when he came back, Musa said, how many? He said, 5. He said, they won't do it. Go back, get it reduced. They'll never make 5. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm too shy to keep going back. I can't go back anymore. So it stayed at 5. But the good news is, and Allah even tells us in the Quran, that if you bring a good deed on the day of judgment, Allah will reward you 10 times. So even if you only pray 5, you get the reward of 50. Huh? So we still get the reward of 50, even though we're only doing 5. So be sure and do your 5, so you're completing your salah. Very important. Well then, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back down from the heaven, and came back to his place, and he told some people about it, the disbelievers right away were going, ho, 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 oh, here's a good one for you. Ha! And they went to where Abu Bakr was doing something, you know, and they came and said, Abu Bakr, you know what your friend has said? And he knew right away, he's talking about Muhammad. Said he went all the way from the masjid here to the masjid in Palestine, in the Holy Land. He went all the way to Aqsa in one night and came back, even went up to heaven, even in front of his Lord. What do you think of that? They said, Abu Bakr never even looked up. He just said, if he said it, he did it. And for this, they gave him the name. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about his response. He didn't even waver for a second. If he said it, he did it. And for this, Muhammad called him As-Sadiq. Say As-Sadiq.
As-Sadiq.
Now, Sadiq means the one who speaks the truth. But As-Sadiq means the one who confirms the truth when it's spoken. Like when you go for a document in court, sometimes it has to be confirmed that you signed it and it's notarized or something from the court. So that means verified. And that is what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq did on that occasion. He verified the truth and said, if he said it, he did it. And may Allah give us this kind of understanding and response quickly, that when we hear the truth, that we also verify it. May Allah make us all Siddiq. Ameen. Now, a smaller miracle, but still something, was that there was a tree stump that Prophet used to lean on sometimes and lay over toward it when he was standing up. When you stand for a long time, you like to have a stick or something. He had this big thing right by the minbar. He used to lean on it, and he used to give his speeches from there. Now, we don't think about trees and plants having any feelings. Many people don't believe they have any feelings. They don't realize that everything from Allah is a part of Allah's creation, and you have to respect it. So he's always over here by this, giving these lectures. So one day, a woman had one of her servants make a special, like, stepping place for him to step up onto and give his lectures. So he got up on there to give his lecture on this, kind of like a box with steps, you know, and he started to give the lecture. And suddenly they heard this tree stump making noise, like, and the people are looking at it going, what's that? And he stand over there, and when he got over here and touched that thing, he would go, oh. If he go away, and he go back over, oh. And he had to actually calm it down because it was crying. You see? Amazing? This is what he calls a small miracle. But still, these are the things that show that, what? You must be a prophet of Allah. Because these things don't happen by accident. But the biggest and grandest of all of the miracles that came with Muhammad is the Quran. Because today we no longer have the stick from Moses. We don't have the blind person who got to see. We don't have the dead person who came back to life. We still have the moon, but it doesn't split anymore. But we do have the biggest of all the miracles. And it's still with us today, just like it came with them. What is it?
Quran!
Why is it a miracle? Some people could ask us, why is the Quran a miracle? Well, first of all, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there any other book on earth that has so many people memorizing it every single day? No. Is there any other book on earth that is preserved exactly letter for letter for letter like the Quran? No. Is there any other book on earth that has so many people of different languages all memorizing it in the original language? No. Only the Quran. The Quran in the Arabic language. And it offers a challenge. If you're in doubt about it, bring a book like it. And in another place, bring 10 chapters like it. And in another place, Allah says, bring one chapter like it. And in another place, Allah says to the unbelievers, haven't the unbelievers seen, and will show them the signs on the furthest horizon and in themselves. And Allah talks about the miracle of the creation of the earth and the long roots of the mountains holding it in place. He speaks about travel in outer space in Surah Al-Rahman. Allah talks about many, many things, and nobody can give any answer, even in science today, how somebody 1400 years ago could even know about the formation of the human being inside the mother and the stages and the trimesters and so many of the things that come mentioned in Quran and the sciences. All of this is a part of the big miracle that came with Muhammad. Miracles of prophets, miracles of Muhammad, all of this is to show us one thing. Not that Muhammad is God or son of God, but what? That he brought the message from the real God, from Allah. La ilaha
illallah Muhammad
ar Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.